Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
We come to the birth of John the Baptist. We see the announcement of his coming birth earlier in chapter 1, and then we see the announcement of Jesus' coming birth, and we see Elizabeth and Mary, the mother of John and the mother of Jesus, together praising the Lord as we saw last week, and then we come to the actual birth of John the Baptist this week. And what we find when we read this first chapter of Luke, and even on into the Gospel of Luke and in the other Gospels, is that John the Baptist was always in the shadow of Jesus, but he was gladly in the shadow of Jesus. That was where he was called to live and breathe and even die, in the shadow of Jesus. So we're going to look at this passage this morning. We're going to read it, and we're going to pray and just ask the Lord to teach our hearts this morning and pull a couple of pieces of truth from it this morning. So we're going to read verses, chapter 1 of Luke, verses 57 through 80. So follow along as we read. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet. Let's pause there for a second. Remember, when the angel announced, Gabriel, the angel announced to Zechariah, John's father, that his older, beyond childbearing years, barren wife would have a son, he doubted and asked the angel, Gabriel, "How will I know?" And the angel, Gabriel, gave him a sign. He made him mute for the entirety of his wife's pregnancy, even up until this point. That's why he's asking for a writing tablet. Verse 63, and he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered, and immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on them, on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us, that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the pathway of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. So we have several things that happen here. First, John is born. Elizabeth gives birth to who we know as John the Baptist, the one who would become the forerunner of Jesus, the one who would announce the arrival of the Messiah to the masses, would make the arrival of Jesus known. So John is born. And we see in this passage that when he is born, Zechariah, who was mute throughout the pregnancy, indicates that his name should be John in obedience to the word of God. And he gets his voice back. And when he gets his voice back, we see in 63, he says, his name is John, and immediately his mouth was opened in 64, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. So he immediately began praising the Lord. And that's what we see in his words from 68 to 79 in those verses. Him praising the Lord for the coming of Jesus. And notice, as he praises the Lord at the arrival of his son, he spends most of his time talking about the arrival of Jesus and the work of Jesus, even at the birth of his son. And as he does that, the people hear him speak, and it says that all who heard laid these things up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" Because they knew that the hand of the Lord was on him. Would you pray with me? Father, we love you. Lord, we ask that you would lead us with your Spirit through our time and your word this morning. We thank you for the fact that we get to sing because you sent your son, not only to be born, but to live a perfect life, to die the death that we deserved in our place, and then to conquer sin and death by raising from the dead. God, we thank you for that. We thank you that we have heard of Jesus, the only way of salvation. God, we lift up those who are suffering this morning, who would long to be here with us this morning. We pray that your presence would be made known to them, and that you would minister to them even as you minister to us. Lord, we pray that you would take this passage in Luke about John the Baptist and help us to apply it to our lives today. Lord, we love you, and we pray these things in the name of the only one who can save, Jesus. Amen. So two pieces of truth this morning from this passage. First is this, that John the Baptist we're speaking of here, who was born in this passage, John, his significance was because of Jesus' significance. So John's significance was because of Jesus' significance. Look at verses 64 through 66. We see John's significance in these verses. At his birth, in verse 64, it says, immediately Zechariah's mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God, and fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be?" Because they knew the hand of the Lord was on him. So we see, just in the event of his birth, it stirred something in the community that witnessed it. They heard the father of John the Baptist speak, and what he spoke immediately at his birth was praises to God, blessing the name of God for what he had done and what he would do. So we see John's significance in that. We also see the fact that the people who heard and saw the birth of John the Baptist and were witnesses to it in that community stood back in awe and in fear of what God was going to do. They wondered in amazement because of the events surrounding this child's birth. The fact that his mother was barren and beyond childbearing years, and here she is, old in years, and giving birth to a son, the impossible. And they're wondering who or what this child will be. The fact that this child is brought into the world surrounded by prophecies that are apparently going to come to pass soon. Not just any prophecies, but the most significant prophecies in the Word of God, the ones surrounding the coming Messiah, Jesus. So they stood back in awe and fear and wonder and amazement at this child's birth. John was significant. And we see that his significance was bound up in his relationship to Jesus. We not only see it in these verses, but we also see it if you flip back to verse 17 in chapter 1. You see its significance in the fact that God brought him into being in the womb of a barren woman for a specific purpose. At the end of verse 17, it says that he would, just read the whole thing, and he will go before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. So even in his purpose, he related to Jesus. It was like he was secondary to Jesus. He was brought into this world to prepare people for the arrival of Jesus. But in that, he was significant. And we see his significance in the question that the people asked in verse 66. They asked this question, "What then will this child be?" Notice they didn't ask who. Very specific question. What will he do? What is his purpose? Why has God brought him into the world? For what purpose? What will he be? They're wondering. So we see it. His birth was significant. As Zechariah praised the Lord, it says that he prophesied, filled with the Holy Spirit, and prophesied, saying in verse 68, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Notice that in the wake of the birth of his son, he speaks of what God is doing and is going to do and has been doing, and he speaks of it in a way as if it's already been done. He says he's visited and redeemed his people as if it's already been done. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us as if it's already been done. And who he's speaking of, what he's speaking of, is Jesus. He is the horn of salvation. He is the Redeemer. And he is yet to even be born yet. But Zechariah is speaking of him as if it's already done. Because Zechariah believes that it will be done. For him, it is as good as done. And so even in Zechariah's prophecy, we see that John's significance, his son's significance, is because of Jesus' significance. Because Jesus was the horn of salvation, because Jesus was the Redeemer, because Jesus was the one who would actually visit us, come to us. And John was simply the man who would go before Jesus and say, "He's here." John's significance was bound up and was because of Jesus' significance. And it's almost comical when you think about it that at his birth, that his father wouldn't necessarily sing about the birth of his son, but at the birth of his son, he was singing about the birth of a coming son, somebody else's son. Be similar to Luke McCown going home for Christmas and his father introducing him to his friends proudly as the backup quarterback for Drew Brees. And I'm sure Luke McCown is probably at this, I think he's been traded now, but at that point was probably comfortable in it. At least he indicated it so in the Verizon commercial. And as we see, John became comfortable with living in the shadow of Jesus' significance. He became comfortable and joyous to have significance bound up in somebody else's significance, Jesus's. We see it in his life. Later on in chapter 3, if you'll flip a couple of pages to verses 15 and 16, we see John once again announcing the birth of Jesus. Chapter 3 of Luke, verses 15 and 16, it says, "As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying," and notice, this was John's opportunity to take the spotlight. He answered them all in verse 16 of chapter 3, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals, I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And he goes on to speak about Jesus there. Even as people attempted to make John's significance about himself, he turned them back to Jesus. He stepped back into the shadow of Jesus gladly and obediently. Do you see it? Look, flip over to chapter 9 of Luke. We see John once again, and he's just sprinkled a couple of times throughout this gospel. He's a kind of a background story in the story of Jesus. Chapter 9, verses 7 through 9 of Luke. We catch up with John once again here. Verse 7, it says, "Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was perplexed, because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen, and this is because of the work of Jesus." Herod is wondering who Jesus is. Is this John raised from the dead? And Herod, in verse 9, said, "John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things?" And he sought to see them. You see, John was executed because of the way he spoke prophetically towards Herod. And even in his death, he was overshadowed by Jesus' death and by Jesus' life and by Jesus' resurrection. We see it in his conception. John was the son of a barren woman. Jesus was the son of a virgin. At John's birth, his father sang. At Jesus' birth, angels sang. And we see that John was beheaded by the government and Jesus was crucified, but we always talk and we should speak and sing and praise the Lord, not for John's death, but for Jesus' death. And what we need to see here is John gladly lived and died in the shadow of Jesus. He gladly gained his significance based on the significance of Jesus. In Christmas, as we read John's conception and birth, and we see him even being conceived and born in the shadow of Jesus and gaining his significance because of the significance of Jesus. When we read that as part of the story and history of Jesus' birth, as we celebrate Jesus' birth this time of year, we should be reminded that as Christians and as a church, we can also find and should also find our significance in the significance of Jesus. In the shadow of Jesus, the Christian, the individual Christian, you and I, and the church as a whole, finds our purpose in Jesus, not off on our own. We find our joy in Jesus, not outside of him in anything or anyone outside of him. We find our significance in him. And what we find of all times of the year, we are tempted as much as any time of the year that this time of the year we are tempted to find our significance in other ways. Even as we give and celebrate the birth of Jesus in light of his being given to us, we are tempted to find our significance in what people give us. We are tempted to find our significance in what we give people. We are tempted to find our significance in their response to what we give them. Our children are tempted to believe that Christmas is all about them and find their significance in what they get and don't get. And what we see clearly in Scripture is the Christians who find the most joy during this time of year are the ones that simply find their significance in the significance of Jesus, who live and breathe in the shadow of Jesus and in nothing else. So allow me to ask you a question, myself included. In the remainder of 2017, how can you, and maybe if you have the privilege of leading a family or being a parent or grandparent, how can you lead the others in your life to point more clearly to Jesus? It's the 17th. It's the 17th. It's flying by for you too. I know it is. And we got just a few days for the rest of this year and just a few more days before Christmas. How can you spend the next several days, the 8 days till Christmas and the few more days until New Year's, making sure that you're living and breathing and leading others to do the same in the shadow of Jesus? That you're giving and receiving is in the shadow of Jesus. How can you do that? There's a host of ways. I want to challenge you to pray about that, to talk about it with your family. Maybe you do a wonderful job of that. I encourage you to continue. So John found his significance in the significance of Jesus. But that's not all we see here. We also see something else about John. John was exalted. His exaltation was because of Jesus' humiliation. We see John was exalted when the people asked in verse 66, "What then will this child be?" They wondered. He was significant to them. He was exalted among them as the one who would come before the Messiah and announce the birth of the Messiah. We see it in the events, in the song of his father after his birth. He was exalted. But he was only exalted because of the humiliation of Jesus. And I don't necessarily mean that in the way that we always use that word. In some sense I do, and in some sense I don't. But I want you to flip over to Philippians 2 so we can grapple with this a little bit more clearly. Philippians chapter 2. So just keep going towards the back of your Bible. You'll find Philippians after the Gospels and Romans and the letters to the Corinthians. Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. And I want us to think about the way that we see John raised up as the forerunner of Jesus, but as we see him raised up, we see Jesus lowered. And we see that very clearly in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Speaking to the church, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says this. He says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So much packed into this here. We could spend days just unpacking these three verses. But we see that Jesus, before he put on flesh, he was the Son of God, the eternal Son of God. Perfect fellowship with God the Father and God the Spirit. And when he was born into this world, he lowered himself by putting on flesh. He humbled himself. Apart from him coming into this world and him putting on flesh, John would have just been a really strange man. But Jesus lowered himself. And so John got to be a really strange man who said, "The Messiah is here. God is with us." And not only did he put on flesh, he didn't just lower himself by taking on our likeness, but he lowered himself and took on the form of a servant, and he lowered himself to the point that he lived a full life, meaning he died. And Paul says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, not just any death, but death on a cross. So he died not just a servant's death, but a criminal's death. And apart from that, death on a cross, apart from his perfect sinless life, apart from his death on a cross that was a sinner's death, he died in our place, what we deserve. Apart from that humiliation, John had nothing to talk about. He couldn't say that the Messiah was here apart from Jesus putting on the flesh. He couldn't say, and Zechariah couldn't prophesy that God has visited us and redeemed us and saved us from our sins and the hands of our enemies and those who hate us apart from Jesus taking our death on the cross, apart from his humiliation. John found his exaltation in Jesus' humiliation. And what we need to be reminded of as a church, and perhaps what you need to be reminded of if you're not a Christian today or be told, is that Jesus lowered himself for us to the point of death on a cross. And praise God, he is exalted in the heavens today, reigning sovereignly. And he can be trusted today because of at 3 days after his death on the cross, he rose from the dead. So he can be trusted today, and he is the only one who is able to save and worthy of our trust. And today, and what we need to be reminded of as we sing of his birth is that apart from his birth, his life, his death and resurrection, is that we would still be wandering in darkness, headed for death, and an eternity in hell, apart from Jesus lowering himself. And so we too are moved from darkness to being able to walk in the light because of what Jesus did. We are moved from death to life. We are moved from hell to heaven. We too, like John, are exalted because of Jesus' humiliation if we put faith in Jesus. And it's not anything that we have done, it's only what he has done. So let me ask you this morning, are you satisfied with living in the shadow of Jesus? As Christians, we should be happy to be. As people come to perhaps sing our praises, we should be happy to say, no, I'm not the one. He is the one. As we lead our children and grandchildren, perhaps great-grandchildren, through this time of the year, we should say, we are only doing this because of what God has done for us. Enjoy the present, but know that Jesus was much better than anything I can give you. And live in the shadow of Jesus. That is where our joy and our significance is found, only in his significance. And today we can sing, because we have been moved from children of the devil to children of God. As Brother Hayward read at the beginning of our service, as a result of Jesus being born of woman and dying a death so that we may be redeemed, we can be adopted as sons and daughters of the living God, moved into the family of God permanently, exalted to the point to where we can say we are co-heirs with Jesus. Because of his humiliation. So today we sing in light of his birth because that is what he came to do. So maybe today, Christian, you can repent of trying to find significance in someone or something else other than Jesus. Maybe today you can simply come and pray and ask the Lord to show you a way that you can live satisfied in his shadow. Or perhaps you can just stand and sing praises to the one who has redeemed you. Maybe today you're here and you haven't trusted Jesus because you're unsure if he is able or worthy. And I just want to say to you, he is, and you can trust him today. However you need to respond, I want to encourage you to follow the Spirit and respond. Let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the example of John the Baptist, and we pray that you would give us the strength and the wisdom to live as humbly as he did in the shadow of Jesus. We pray that in the days to come, God, that you would give us as your people, as your church, as those who have placed faith in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of our sins, that you would give us wisdom and strength to find satisfaction and joy in the shadow of Jesus. God, we pray that you would do a work in Eastside Baptist in such a way that people don't talk about us or what we do, but as a result of what we do and what we say, they talk about you. God, we pray for those who may be here within earshot of us that don't know you. God, we pray that you would stir in their hearts in such a way that they would come and place faith in you, even as we celebrate the coming of your Son. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, my name is Andrew Donaldson, and I'm the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you, and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day. Come to Bethlehem.